I'll preface tonight by saying that this is the first, of course you all know, this is the first time that I've ever overseen the taking of the Lord's Supper while here at this church, and I won't lie, there's a little bit of nervousness that came with this because the few times that I've been able to experience it, it was a very special moment for me, and I really enjoyed the fellowship and what we did here, and I hope that I can reverence this occasion in a way that would be the proper way to honor God. But I just want to start. What I'm going to do tonight, it's not really, I would call it preaching, maybe just a devotion here, something short. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is getting ready to get on the case of this Corinthian church because they've started doing something that he's picked up on and he's not very happy about it. They started having this agape love feast and where they would bring in, it's kind of like a potluck, and they would come in and they would bring all these meals together, and some of the rich people would eat because they were rich and they would be able to be there earlier, and they would eat all the food, and by the time the poor people got finished from doing their endeavors and whatnot, and they got there, all the food was gone, and then they were left there and leaving the church hungry. And it was kind of like, you know, if you went to a potluck and someone had made some really good beans or something, you're like, no, you can't have any of these. And it just wouldn't, I mean, it's not conducive to a good church environment. Paul is going to teach them the proper way to handle and participate in taking the Lord's Supper. And he's going to tell them what took place. But before we get into that, I just want to do a little rewind and talk about leading up to how the Lord's Supper came to be. You know, we know that as Jesus, when he began his ministry and he started to walk along the seashores of Galilee and he called out his disciples, the disciples came, they responded to him, and then on Caesarea Philippi, he asked, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" They responded, say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said that it's God that revealed that to them. And sometime around there in that place where they all came to belief in Jesus Christ and He baptized them, there is the start of your first New Testament church. The first New Testament church. And Jesus started to walk with these men and teach these men, and they were with each other every day. And every year they came to Jerusalem and they observed the Passover feast. But then in this particular time, this particular instance, they come to observe the Passover feast, and remember, the Passover feast happens once a year. Some people ask, say, why do we only observe the Lord's Supper here a couple times or once a year? How often was the Passover feast? And this kind of replaced that, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But Jesus is about to give this Passover new significance. And in Luke chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but He gathers them together, says all the disciples are together, and then it says that Jesus, "I really desired to do this with you. For a long time, I've desired to have this time with you." And I really, those words are really special to me today as I kind of familiar. I wrote all the gospel accounts of the Lord's Supper. Then Luke, Jesus says, I've desired to do this with you guys. And it kind of gives you the understanding it's a really, really special time. And Jesus, Jesus had the Lord's Supper with these men. He had the Lord's Supper with these men, and they took it. And then long later, he told them the significance of it. And he went, and he died on the cross. And then afterwards, the church started to observe and do these things. They would meet. And in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how these people that were baptized, and they were added to their number, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread. And these men when you look at how the Lord's Supper is observed and how it's taken, it's the people who are the church. It's the church. The people, it's not for everyone down the road. This is home team. This is our team. And we observe this with one another. At another spot in Corinthians where Paul talks about, there was a man who had had an affair, who's having an affair with his stepmother. Paul says, "Deny that man the Lord's table." And then what you can see there is a picture of being able to implement church discipline. Because if we were able to, if we just walked out these doors and we just walked and we took communion with this church and took communion with that church. Yeah, the responsibility lies on ourselves. It relies on ourselves. We have to examine ourselves, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But that's how we institute church discipline, denying someone the Lord's table and say, until you've made this right, until you came and you've confessed your sins to the person you've offended, until you've made it right with God, you're denied the Lord's table. And we can't do that if anyone in the world just can come in and sit with us and they've been excommunicated from another church. Now, going into this reading, Paul's really getting on these guys right here. And in verse 23, he says, "For I have received the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it. He said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." The Jew would have said before this time, before Jesus came and instituted this, he said, "This is the bread of affliction our fathers ate in the land of Egypt." That's what they would have said prior to this. "This is the bread of affliction which our fathers had eaten in the land of Egypt." But Jesus now had changed the significance of that bread. Now he says, "This is My body." Was His body not afflicted? It was greatly afflicted. He was bruised. He was crushed. We just went through a couple Sundays ago reading the account of what led up to the cross, the immense torture that Jesus' body went through there on the cross. And then the next thing it says, "And then the same manner, He also took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Now the New Testament, that word testament means covenant. A new covenant. We've been talking about what a covenant means, haven't we? We're talking about Hosea, we're talking about what covenant love is. And when we accept what Jesus has done on the cross, we enter into this new covenant. A covenant relationship with God based on who He is and His goodness and what His atoning work and everything that He did on the cross. It's not based on what we are and what we do and how all those things. He does the work. We accept what He's done there on the cross. Sometimes when I picture this, I get a really beautiful picture in my head. This our Jesus Christ, He walked here on this earth. He was afflicted, just like what we talked about. He was afflicted measures that we can't really put it in our brain. Just the other day, I watched The Passion of the Christ. I just wanted to refresh myself on some of that visual things, and I just was looking at some of the stuff, and I don't know how accurate that movie is, but if it's anywhere close, it's horrendous. It's horrendous. And Jesus suffered all those things, and He died on that cross. But in Hebrews 9, it talks about how Jesus goes into heaven and He puts His blood on the mercy seat. You want to talk about a glorious picture? You want to talk about a picture of a risen Savior who comes walking into the kingdom of heaven, having made atonement for all man's sin? I mean, I don't know what the angels were singing. I don't know what they were saying. I just know that I'm sure all heaven held its breath, just wondering what this was going to look like when it was all done and over. And here comes the King, strolling into heaven, had made atonement for all sin. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. Once and for all, that's done with. I put it behind me. I get chills thinking about that. But He tells them, says, "This is the cup of the new covenant, or New Testament." And it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till it come." This word "show" means to proclaim. As often as we do this, as many times as we take this, we proclaim Jesus' death and what it meant and what it did. As often as we do this, that's what we're saying. And then it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now that unworthily is a different word than unworthy. Because if we were talking about, we were throwing out the word worthy, all of us will be disqualified to hear today. None of us will be able to partake of this because none of us are worthy. But unworthily changes it. And what that means is to take in an unworthy manner. Paul's going to explain what an unworthy manner would be. He says, but let a man, and this is important, I underline this in my Bible, and I think about this often. You know, when we talk about doing close communion and doing that with our church, that's all great, but here's where it comes down to. But let a man examine himself. Let him examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What does it mean to examine ourselves? What does it mean to examine ourselves? When I examine myself, what that means is when I examine anything, I look back and I look at its properties. I look at what makes it run, what makes it function, what its sole purpose is. That's examination. When you are examining yourself, you should take a step back and say, why am I here? What is my function? What is my sole purpose? And maybe your sole purpose right now is to make a lot of money. Maybe it's to be a good husband. Maybe it's to have a bigger farm. Who knows whatever it is. But if it's not to bring honor and glory to God, if it's not to be a servant of God, to fulfill His kingdom purposes, then there's something that we have to talk to the Lord about right here. This is what we have. This is when we examine ourselves, when we're putting other things, when we have idols, when we have anything that we put before the Lord, now we have something that we have to talk to the Lord about before we can partake of this supper. It says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh unto damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now this is a serious warning. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He's not talking about that many got sick and they took a long nap and they're napping right now and that's the reward for them. No, they died. They died. There was people that were taking of this supper and they were doing it in an unworthy manner. They were doing it and they weren't confessing their sins and they weren't talking to the Lord and they weren't doing the things they should be doing as Christians. And look what Paul says here. He says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He said, if we would do that ourselves, if we would do the examination, and we would find out where we lack, where we're coming up short, and we would talk about that to the Lord, we won't be judged by Him. We won't get this harsh judgment. Why does the Lord judge? He says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. God's not going to let His church get all defiled and messed up. That's what was happening here in the Corinthian church, is these people were taking of this Lord's Supper and the people were dying, they were getting sick, their things were happening to them, and God was dealing with this church because they weren't dealing with it. He says, if we'll judge ourselves, if we'll take an honest look at ourselves, and we'll be 1 John 1:9 kind of people, if we'll confess to the Lord, He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Tonight, that's what we have to do. Before we begin and we take this Lord's Supper here in just a few moments, I want to give us an opportunity to have an invitation. If there is something, listen, this moment here tonight is a reflection of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. And as you think about this, the immense sacrifice that it takes, as you reflect on those things and you think about what it took, and that, just remember this. Remember, Jesus said, I desired to have this moment with you. He really wanted to show them this. He wanted them to be able to do this and remember Him. To really think about the things, the sacrifice that He had done. If we'd really sit here and we'd think about that sacrifice and we'd look at that thought, purge us of the things that are going wrong inside of our heart. And every one of us got some stuff. I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I know I myself, I got stuff. And we got to deal with that with God. And we want to do this with the most pure heart to God that we possibly can. Thinking of that sacrifice where He removed the guilt of sin and took that away from us because of what He did on the cross. Also tonight, If you've got another qualm with another brother or sister in this church, before we take Lord's Supper, pull them aside. Talk to them. Maybe they don't even know what's going on. Maybe say, hey, brother, I've got something wrong and I haven't even talked to you about it. And they may be a surprise to them. Just talk to them. Just talk to them and say, I want to bury this before we go forward anymore. I want to do this with a pure and clean heart. Would you do that tonight as we do this invitation? I ask all of you to stand. Brian's going to give us a song to start on. And if you guys, I'll be up here if you want me to pray with you, I'll be here. And at the end of the prayer, I'll call forward the ushers and we'll administer the Lord's Supper.
3:14, Amazing Grace.